Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. And Rob, a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court this week could turn out to be helpful to Democratic Governor Steve Bullock's effort to be reelected. And that decision was to put President Obama's plan to reduce carbon emissions on hold. And why does that maybe help Governor Bullock in his race against Republican Greg Gianforte?
Well, Republicans are celebrating this, but I think you're right, Sally. There has to be a sigh of relief from the governor's office over this. This stay almost certainly means that the Clean Power Plan is going to be sidelined and remain in limbo until after the election in November. And for Governor Bullock, as far as his reelection campaign goes, I think that's good news for a couple reasons. First, it really takes some of the air out of Gianforte's point about how regulations are hurting Montana's economy. Now, to be sure, Gianforte's still going to hammer away at this, so we'll be hearing about this general issue a lot. But the Clean Power Plan was the perfect foil in that it came out of the Obama administration, and it's easy to link to worries over the coal strip plants shutting down and more generally Montana's energy sector. So the Clean Power Plan, it was teed up perfectly for a Montana Republican. And again, just to be clear, the fight over jobs and regulations is still there. It isn't going away. But pointing to the Clean Power Plan just isn't going to pack quite the punch that it did before the Supreme Court stay. And then the second reason I think this is good news for Bullock is that it bails him out of something of a thorny issue for him. Two of the Democratic Party's key constituencies are labor and the environmentalists. And the Clean Power Plan pitted these constituencies against one another and left Bullock kind of awkwardly in the middle, having to try to play to both sides. And we saw this ambivalence clearly, I think, in his response to the court's announcement. On the one hand, he attacked the Clean Power Plan again as being unfair. But then on the other hand, he says we have to address climate change. So at the very least, it's a bit of a complicated position that's difficult to explain. It might, those two things might not be totally incompatible, but it's a tough one to explain to voters, particularly when you compare it to the response that Republicans have, which is very clear: no ifs, no ands, no buts.
Energy policy in general is problematic for Democratic politicians in an energy state like Montana because there are those competing constituencies for Democrats.
Right. This is a thing for Democrats all over the country at the national level, but especially here. And I think Bullock, whatever you want to say about the Clean Power Plan, it's good, it's bad. I think for Bullock, it helps to some degree to have Exhibit A taken off the table.
Well, Republican Greg Gianforte does not want this issue to go away, and he's now calling for Governor Bullock to, quote, repurpose the Clean Power Plan Council that he had appointed to come up with ways for Montana to meet what would have been its emissions reduction target in that plan. And he's put that council on hold, saying the Supreme Court decision has kind of left this all in limbo. But now Gianforte is calling for the governor to repurpose the council to become, I guess, in his view, a sort of lobbying group against the plan.
I think that's extremely unlikely. Bullock, I think, is eager to get away from this. And it's a little strange, I think, to float the idea of taking this council and having it do something other than its original purpose. But again, for Gianforte, I think it makes plenty of sense. This is such a great issue for him. And this just exemplifies the larger issue that he's trying to hammer home.
Well, this Supreme Court decision could also help the reelection bid of Attorney General Tim Fox, who joined several other state attorneys general to challenge the Clean Power Plan. And here's what Attorney General Fox had to say about the Supreme Court decision.
This is huge. It's a signal that should this case go back up on the merits to the United States Supreme Court, that there's a possibility, and you never want to handicap these things in advance, that the Clean Power Plan and the EPA regulations will be struck down.
And Fox is so far, Rob, running unopposed, but this helps him regardless.
Yeah, I think it does. He has been the person here in Montana who has clearly been out front leading the charge. Bullock has offered some support. Again, he's said repeatedly that the plan is unfair to Montana. but he's in a much more of an ambivalent position on this. Fox, clear-cut, out front, leading the charge, and I think this is just one more thing that strengthens his position and raises the bar in terms of some Democrat jumping into the race.
That could be an issue in that race as well, the whole issue of coal and what its future is.
Absolutely.
Chuck, there's another race that voters have probably not paid much attention to yet and hopefully will soon because there are two very different candidates running in that race, and that is the race for state auditor. Democrat Jesse Laslovich has a new opponent. The new opponent is a familiar name in Montana politics.
Yes, it's Matt Rosendale, a Republican from Glendive. And Rosendale had been in the House for one session and then was elected to the state Senate. He ran and lost in the Republican primary for the U.S. House seat in 2014. He placed third. Listeners may remember his ad, which was probably the best remembered ad in Montana in some time, where he pulls out a rifle and shoots at a drone supposedly up in the sky and knocks it out of commission, and it got a lot of national attention as well. Rosendale will be a serious candidate. He replaces Champ Edmonds, who was a state legislator who really hadn't raised any money. Rosendale also has the ability to self-fund. When he ran for the House in 2014, he put in about $1.2 million of his own money in the race and lost. So all of a sudden, Laslovich, who had a big financial lead over Champ Edmonds, has got to start raising a lot more money, because I'd be surprised if Matt Rosendale doesn't put in a lot of his own money.
And these are two very different political philosophies, a moderate to liberal Democrat against a conservative-leaning Tea Party candidate.
I don't know if he would say he's a Tea Party, but he's a very social and financial conservative and very ambitious, and so is Jesse Laslovich. Laslovich was elected to the House at age 20 when he was still a University of Montana student, served there, then elected to the Senate. And these are two people that you will see, I think, involved in Montana politics for many years to come, one way or another. And Laslovich ran for attorney general in 2012 and narrowly lost in the primary to Pam Buesi, who went on to lose to Fox in the general election. And Rosendale then was elected Senate majority last session and was, a force in the Senate. So this will be very interesting. The auditor's office is a strange office in that the title doesn't begin to describe what the auditor does. In fact, the auditor does no auditing. The auditor regulates insurance and securities in Montana.
And in fact, they've tried to change the name of it to State Insurance Commissioner, right?
Yes, and once as State Financial Services Commissioner, and both times voters have rejected that. But I personally would rank it as the third most important state office behind governor and attorney general, because the auditor is involved in a lot of litigation and settlements with insurance companies and
securities
is
a member
companies.
Of the state land board.
That's correct. The auditor is one of five members of the state land board, along with the governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and superintendent of public instruction. And the land board is in charge of overseeing all the hundreds of thousands of acres of state land, and whether it's developed for natural resource purposes, leased to ranchers for grazing, and it's a big job.
Chuck's point is well taken too, Rob, that this office is often a stepping stone to another higher office.
Yeah, for sure. And as Chuck noted, both of these candidates clearly aspire to that. Rosendale has already run for Congress, Laslovich for Attorney General. And in the case of Laslovich in particular, he's only 35 years old, but it seems like he's been around forever. And he's frequently cited as a rising star on the Democratic side. And he's off to a good start in this one in terms of fundraising. He's already raised $140,000 for this run as auditor, which is a pretty nice sum. So I think whoever emerges as a winner here is probably someone that we'll be hearing about for years to come.
Chuck, driving around the state recently, I saw my first Bernie Sanders sign on a fence, and he has just qualified for the Montana primary ballot. The presidential campaigns are starting to pay attention to those states that don't have a primary in the near future.
Well, it's heating up nationally, and it's starting to heat up in Montana, although I would say slowly, because our primary isn't until June 7th, so a lot of the likely candidates will probably be toast by then. I checked with the Secretary of State's office. We have 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats who've submitted 500 valid signatures to qualify for the ballot. They are Sanders and Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, and on the Republican side, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Mario Rubio, and Donald Trump. You know, if we have close races on both sides or either side, the late Montana primary could be critical to their chances, just as it was in 2008 when we had the battle between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And we had both of them appear at an event, the Mansfield Metcalf Dinner in Butte, in early April. And it was probably the most amazing political event I ever covered. Covered 2 major presidential candidates at the same forum.
They were back to back, as I recall, too. Yeah. And both gave speeches back to back. Well, Rob, Chuck's right that I think our June primary some years is more relevant than others. This might be one of those years where it's more relevant.
It's exciting what's going on nationally in the presidential race. And I tell you, it looks a lot more plausible that the Montana primary is going to matter for the presidential race than it did just a few weeks ago. Particularly on the Republican side, you still have a lot of candidates who are in there with some plausible rationale for staying in. The Democratic race, you're down to 2, but Bernie Sanders has done a lot better than people expected. Big question for him in the coming weeks, is he going to be able to take his big win in New England, his home turf, and make inroads into other states that are a little bit less natural for him with larger minority populations and whatnot. If he can do that, and I think there's reason to think that he can, we could be in for a long march to November.
We're going to continue to imagine that it does all matter. And you've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson. Rob and Chuck, we'll talk again next week. Thanks.
Sounds good, Sally.